This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Embracing Change podcast. I am Jen Osborne. I am without my trusty co-host, Lakrita Bowman. She is out today. But I have been entrusted to this really great interview with a dear friend of the podcast. Her name is Janita Cummings. And we're super excited to have you as a guest on Women of Change, our season. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, it's awesome. I feel like I've seen so many of your videos and so many of your talks. Like, it's like, all right, she gets to be on our podcast. This is great. But in doing some research about you, because I tend to do that.
Yes. Okay.
I like to know about folks. So you have been a researcher or a scientist at KAO, or is it Cal?
Cal.
Cal. I was wondering about that. I didn't want to mispronounce that. USA. You've been there for 13 years.
Right. I started actually at Procter & Gamble.
Oh, and like just kind of
I transitioned from P&G to Cal. So I was at Procter for 8 years.
Awesome.
And then I transitioned to Cal. So I was product development, products research at Cal, Procter & Gamble, and then transitioned to Cal.
Awesome.
So, yep.
Sounds like an interesting job. When I saw the title of scientist, I'm like, oh, yeah. She's got the smarts, buddy.
It's all right. Interesting job. So a lot of Cal was more behavior research.
Oh,
so
nice.
Understanding the why of the consumer. So being the consumer's voice. So behavior science.
Nice. I really like that. That sounds like a very, very interesting job because you get to ask a lot of questions, right?
That's right.
Oh, I love asking questions. I think that's one of my most favorite things to do because it just shows you're curious. And so
yes.
Are you naturally curious anyway?
I am, always has, like since a child.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that really feeds into your natural propensity.
Right. And so as a child, I was always curious. And sometimes you just don't know what role you want to go into, right? You know, like what I want to be when I grow up. I would have never known behavior science, but I just was so happenstance, that's where I end up. So.
Yeah, that's very cool. Well, and I noticed, like, so you got your bachelor's of science in biology, but then you also went to mortuary school. What was that?
That's that curiosity.
Yeah. So in some ways I can see there are similarities, but the differences even in the two. What made you want to go into that just at that time, and what made you leave that?
So what happens, my curiosity was about, I wanted to care for people.
Yeah.
So most of my family members are doctors or lawyers. So of course the medical field was like what I just kind of wanted to go into naturally, because growing up, that's what I saw. But then I came to Ohio just because you have like one of the best schools for mortuary science. And then I ended up getting pregnant, life, right? And then I heard about this company called P&G. I was like, what's that?
Great company.
So yes. I started working there, and that's what kind of led into that product development and science role.
Gotcha.
That's my honest truth. And from there, it just kept blossoming. And then I started working with consumers and started realizing that curiosity, the caring for people, just kept growing. And then the field product research, heard about that, started working into that. And then just everything just kind of started marrying together. And that's what my role just kind of grew and then led into Cal behavior science. And just all of it just kind of fit for me.
Awesome. Well, tell the listeners a little bit about who you are, what you're passionate about. I mean, obviously we know you're a curious person. You ask lots of questions, which is great. And maybe just share a little bit about, give me a break on TikTok.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah, because who I am.
We want to know about you, though, too. So
a little bit more about me. I think, you know, beyond the scientist, right? I had to learn to embrace that, right? Because I never really talked about that, because I just feel like that's a job, right?
A cool job, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
But when I started even doing that work, I realized, like, when I was interviewing people, because a lot of my interviewing was, like, the psychological understanding of people. Mm. Right, I had to get to the core of like the why. So I had to get the psychological, the mind. I had to learn the emotional parts of people. And so a little bit about me is I care about people. And that's what Give Me a Break came in, is that for me, I needed people to learn. I didn't show it, but people always thought Janita's just a strong girl, strong. But I needed people to be strong for me too. I needed support, but I never showed it. I never said it. And I had moments in my life where I not only needed a break, I broke. Actually broke, right?
Oh.
Being a professional, you don't show that. You don't say it. You don't talk about it. You just hide it. And I did it for so many years. I masked it. And so after I had my moment, not only did I just break, I broke down. I didn't want to hide it anymore. And I realized while I was talking to other women about it, I became more transparent that it was more people like me out there.
When you say you had a break, do you mean as far as
mental?
You just
not physical. No. You know, we break our leg, we break our arms, we go to the doctor, right?
Yeah.
When we break mentally, which means you go in your room and you're like, I can't. My mind is not thinking proper. Like when I say break, I mean like I am not thinking logical anymore.
Yeah.
Right. My desires are shifting. And me, I'm a spiritual person. Right. I understand my connection with God, which is my spirit. But then when I understand my soul, which for me is my earthly connections, right, which becomes my mind, my emotions, my desires start shifting. My mind is shifting. I'm off a little bit. I have no desires to want to get up. I have no desires to want to talk to my friends. I have no desires to want to parent. I have no desires to want to cook.
Wow.
You know, and here I am, this professional woman. I got to get up. I still got to go to work. I still have to interact. And somehow I'm good at that. I'm good at getting up and putting that mask on and getting it done.
Putting one foot in front of the other.
There you go.
Yeah.
And eventually what happened is that I was so good at doing that, I was putting on 20 masks a day. Then it becomes 50 masks, 60 masks. It's overload. To the point that you don't even know who you are anymore. So, of course, people don't know. You talk about carrying a load. That's a load. So, eventually, you will break. That's a load. So, I broke. And so, I eventually was able to get the support and help that I needed. But I hid in getting that support, right? I got the support, but I didn't let anyone know. I took an FMLA. People like, oh, where you going? I was just taking care of somebody. I was taking care of myself.
Yeah.
But no one knew. But I thank God I did it. In my culture, in my household, in my family, it's taboo. It's more like, just go to church, you know, get a prayer and you'll be okay. That's a Band-Aid for me, what I needed. I needed more. My soul needed more. I still stayed in my word, but there was moments I didn't want even that. But anyway, so that's where Give Me a Break came in, because I didn't want anyone else to feel like I felt, you know, it's almost like how people know that they have an addiction. They come out of that addiction. They don't want anyone else to feel that addiction. So for me, if you can make a rehab for drug addiction or that, why there can't be something for what I went through?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's where Give Me a Break is about. It's about allowing people to come in and be authentically who they are in the moment and saying, before the burnout, before you go through that, I'm here to support you in any way, in whatever that looks like for you.
Was that hard when you first started that, to be that transparent with where you were? Like, how did you overcome that? Like the stigma and the, I'm just going to keep this quiet too. Okay, I'm not going to keep this quiet. I am going to share where I am.
When you start seeing so many people like you. I mean, honestly, the moment I said no more is the moment I was sitting in a room, honestly, and I'm in a facility. This is my truth, right? I'm in a facility, and this lady is sitting next to me, and she is the director of nursing. And she's sitting in a corner, and we're all in a support group together. And she's in like total denial. Like, my husband checked me into here, and I really don't need to be here. I can't wait till 5 o'clock when we're done. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, me and you are alike. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, me and you are professionals. The rest of these people in here. I was like, oof. You need help. Your husband is right. You need help. She's like, I'm fine. I'm just going to go home, get in my bed, and I'll just be back here tomorrow.
So she was really in denial.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I'm a professional. I'm going to go to work and I'm going to be good. I'm like, you're not okay.
Yeah.
Right?
You're obviously you're in not a crisis. Okay.
You're in crisis.
Yeah.
But she had masked. She knew how to mask. And in her mind, she was okay because she had the title. She had everything around her was working. She could hide it good enough. And she can function. She was a functional mental breakdown miss.
Yeah. That sounds exactly like some alcoholics can be, functioning alcoholics.
And that's how I see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can be a functional mental mess.
Yeah.
And that's what I was, a functional mental mess. Period.
And so in seeing her, that like inspired you like, oh, I really need to talk and then to others
I started praying. I said, God, if this is what I look like, show me how to do better. Like, how can I make this better? And that's what I went in my, you know, I would go in my room and he was just like, I need you to be more proactive tomorrow. Do better. Like I wasn't participating either. I ain't gonna lie. I thought I was better than everybody in that room. Be honest with you. I was like, these people in here crazy. These people don't, if they knew, you know, they don't know any better, blah, blah, blah. And then what God started doing is the next day, another professional person showed up. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, week by week by week, other people that were like me were showing up.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I can cry now because God was showing me there were more people like me than I thought.
You are not alone.
I was not alone.
And you were not unique.
Not in any form.
Yeah.
She got the help she needed.
Yeah.
I got the help I needed. It was like 10 of us in there, professional.
Makes you think, like, how did you influence them even to say, look, we may be professionals, but we're just basic humans.
Exactly.
And we're in a crisis and we need this help. If we were like, when I look at help for like mental crisis, I think about if I was a diabetic,
correct,
I would go to the doctor and I would get metformin or whatever
exactly.
It is, right? I would get the medication, I would get the help, and then I would tell others, yeah, I'm diabetic. It would be just totally okay and acceptable. And I think when it comes to mental illness, even in the church, it's like, I'm okay. I'm blessed and I'm highly favored
exactly.
And everything's fine. And and to almost admit otherwise feels like you're letting somebody down.
Exactly.
And that feels like a trap.
Exactly. Because what I had to realize, even in my spiritual growth in that, because what happens is that when you're there and when you do, and eventually I was there for 6 weeks, actually longer, 8. I eventually had to tell my family members, right? That's part of the transformation there, right? Mm. And it was like, why are you there? You know, speak, you know, God is a healer. He is.
Amen.
Because what you don't understand, mama, and that's my mother, I'm talking to a 70-something, you know, she's in that mind space of why are you there? Because God not only needs to transform my spirit, mama, is connected to God. That's my connection to my father.
Yeah.
I'm still reading my word, mama, because the word is God. God. That's my spirit. God is a spirit.
Yes.
I said, mama, I'm talking about my soul. She said, what do you mean? I said, my soul, which is my mind, my emotions, my desires, the things I deal with in my mind needs to be transformed. Be ye renewed. My mind needs to be renewed.
Yes.
She said, what do you mean? I said, I need to be renewed up here. And I said, sometimes when you need to be renewed in the mind, my beliefs, my trauma, my experiences need to be thought differently of.
Yeah.
And guess what? I said, I'm sitting in a place where they're helping me think of those things in a different place, different way. She was like, oh, so now she's getting it, right?
Yeah.
She didn't understand that.
You spoke to her in a way that she understood the differences.
She had to.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
now yeah, I had, because she's church, right?
Right.
So now she's like, I never thought of it that way, Janita. I said, now you're getting it. I said, see, I'm not discrediting the fact that I trust God. I believe in him.
Amen. Yeah.
That's my spirit. I said, Mom, you ain't got to believe. That connection's still there. Sometimes I don't want to read my word, but that don't mean I don't love him. And she, it took a while, but she got it when I started talking about my soul in a different way, like that renewal and the transformation. She was like, oh, huh? Renewing of the mind. I said, yeah. And so that's when I started trying to help her understand what the renewal of the mind meant. And that's when God had to show me. God had to show me all the years at Cal taught me, all the interviews, the behavior science, the psychological parts. Like, what was I learning then? The pieces. How Give Me a Break connected. Right? I was like, what do you mean? He was like, how you're sitting there talking to people, learning about the psychological, you're tying that to Give Me a Break, right? And I was like, what do you mean? I'm sitting there, I'm like, what do you mean, God? Because he was like, the stuff that you're teaching them about, like for marketing, right? Why do people pick up a color? You know, why are people drawn to this? And, you know, the psychological pieces. It's the same thing you're going to do when you're teaching people about me. To tell people how to identify themselves with me. So when people do come to Give Me a Break, you're going to help them understand who they are, how you can take your trauma, your beliefs, and your experiences, and we're going to think about them in a different way.
That's good.
Right? How do we transform our minds?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's so good. That's
because it starts there.
It's changing the narrative. And it's so for you when you were, when God was showing you that and you were like connecting, Give Me a Break with the behavioral science part of it. So when it was like a ding, 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 mm-hmm. Okay, God, I get this. Did it feel like, okay, I get this. So what do I do? Like, how do I even begin to do that? And
yes.
Did it challenge you to be 100% vulnerable?
Oh, I'm still going through it. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Because that's where the lies come in.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. In my lives, I'm vulnerable. Like, I can't make this stuff up is how I talk to people in my lives. Like, man, I cannot make this stuff up. Can you believe this happened to me? I did this. I did that. Because in my vulnerability, I have to tell people my truth so I can help you relate to understand you're not alone. Right. Yeah, I went through that. Yep. That happened to me. But God.
Yes.
Right. That's my end.
Yes.
But God.
Yes.
But I'm okay with, and I try to change the narrative when I'm talking about it. Right. It's like, I can think of it that way or I can think of it this way.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But so when I do my lives, people don't understand, like every Sunday when I finish my lives, I often cry when I'm done.
Ooh.
Because my mind is also transformed.
Oh.
I'm healed.
Wow, it's like they're listening to you reason with yourself in a matter of speaking.
Right.
Wow.
Right? That's that prefrontal lobe, right? That's my feelings, right? Because our emotions and our feelings are two different things, right? So reasoning is that prefrontal, right
yep.
here.
Yep.
That's where reasoning
is. All of the things.
Right?
Yep.
So that's where feelings come in, right? Because my emotions are like instincts, right? Our feelings are where we start to like filter stuff, right? So obviously when I'm in my lives, I'm doing that reasoning, that filtering is coming. And I'm thinking it through and I'm like, oh, I just had a moment. I just had an epiphany.
Wait a minute, folks, stand by. I gotta just process right. this real quick.
And I'm tied into a scripture. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, seriously, and my sister will call me, somebody could call me, and I'm like, oh, she's like, you're okay? I'm like, no, I'm not okay. Like, I just can't believe this just happened. Because, you know, like, and I'm always like, thank God. Because I don't even want to do my lives on Sunday. I'm always like, God, do I really have to? He's like, yep, we're doing it.
And for you listeners out there, she's talking about doing Facebook Live yes. events every Sunday.
6 p.m. Eastern time.
I want to give that a plug for sure. And she's on TikTok under Give Me a Break JC.
Yes.
So if you wanted to find her there. Anyway, not to digress. Keep going, friend.
But yeah, that's where I'm most vulnerable in my lives. That's where I try to give people a break through me, through my life. share my personal stories of moments in my life where I had to go back and say, these are moments where I'm like, God is a forgiving God. He's a loving God.
Amen.
These are moments where I screwed up, but God showed me he values me too. These are moments where, like, I even was talking, like, God told me to put a darn pair of boots on the altar. And I'm like, God, no, I'm not taking my shoes off. I'm not doing it. And he's like, yep, yeah, you are.
This was at Solid Rock Church.
Solid Rock Church.
Yeah, you're going to share me
like,
the details.
Years ago, he was like, someone stole my rent money. I can go on. But the point is, they stole a pair of some money. I didn't know how I was going to pay my rent. I had no money. Snowing outside. I had a hole in my shoe, my socks. And my kids were in daycare. He said, take your shoes off. Put them on the altar. I said, nope, I'm not doing it, God. He said, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I have a necklace and put it on the altar. And she was like, sow a seed. You don't want to miss it. I said, I'm missing this. God said, no, you're not. I put the shoes on the altar, ran out the church, touched the doorknob. She said, whose shoes are these? Come to the altar now. I mean, literally, my hand was on the knob. I turned back around and she said, stop, everybody. I want everyone who has whatever she was. I don't even know what she said. She said, I need you to pour into these shoes right now. Now, Solid Rock is a big church.
It's
Darlene Bishop.
Huge church.
Never forget this. And she told them to sew into these shoes. I'm talking about people from the East. Everyone was coming to sew into my shoes.
Wow.
I get home, me and my children, you know, I get my children, I'm crying, whatever. We take the shoes, we pour them into the bed. And my rent for that month, couple months, were covered. Money, I mean, everything I needed was covered in those shoes. I went back to church that night to pay my tithes on those shoes. Everything I lost plus more was in those shoes. And that was about just being obedient to God.
What was the, why did you say no at first? Were those boots like really super important to you?
Or first pair of leather boots I ever had.
Okay.
Someone at my job at P&G gave me those boots because they saw in P&G, you know, they were like, you know, I was trying to learn to dress a little bit more professional. And one of my coworkers was like, I got a pair of leather boots. I'm going to give to you. I was like, oh my God, that's going to be my first pair of leather boots I ever owned. And I had a hole in my socks. I was not wanting anyone to see that.
Yeah.
And so my pride was in the way.
Yeah.
And I wanted those leather boots.
You didn't want to give it up to God.
Didn't want to give it up to God.
Because you had no idea why he was telling you to do that.
Didn't know.
But it was for a good.
He had more for me.
Had more. Oh, yeah.
Oh, he had more for me.
Oh, God is so good.
In my obedience, I didn't. It's like you don't know what God has for you. His, you know, our future is bigger than anything. We just don't know. You just got to be obedient. That whole story to me is about being obedient.
Yeah, absolutely. Giving the thing up that you think you can't live without.
Correct.
But yet God is going to give you something more.
Correct.
I'm reminded of the cartoon of Jesus kneeling before a little girl and she has a tattered old teddy bear. And he's got his hand out for her to give it to him. And behind his back is this huge, beautiful teddy bear. Mm-hmm. And he wants to exchange it. But she's like hesitating. And it's like, yeah, that's me. That's really me. Like, I can't see beyond the things in my immediate to the things of faith, the bigger things.
Bigger things, right.
And trusting that if we ask God for bread, he's not going to give us a stone. I've been guilty of that a lot.
I know.
Right? I'm not going to get that. Like, why should I pray for that? Or, okay, I'll kind of pray for it.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm going to, you know what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Trust me. And even in that story and having experienced that 20 years, whatever many years ago, I still have moments where I'm disobedient. And it's like, you should know better. God has shown you over and over, if you're obedient, what he will do for you.
Yeah. His faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He would he will give you the break.
That's so good.
Just be obedient.
And you know what I love that you were talking about is the duality of who we are as people in acknowledging that, hey, I'm really hurting. I'm in a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. I don't see my way out of it, but God is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can say both of those together. Mm-hmm. It's not like they cancel each other out at all.
Mm-mm.
And I think some of our greatest healing and some of our greatest vulnerability and connection with people is when we are able to do that, right? I'm having a hard day. Mm-hmm. I'm really struggling, but God is good. Mm-hmm. Like I am blessed and highly favored. That's true. That's not going away. Mm-hmm. But in this moment, I might be grieving a loved one. I might be grieving the loss of a job. Mm-hmm. I might be in depression so deep, I can't see the sunshine, even though it's out and in my face.
You right? can have both.
Right. Yeah. That can be absolutely true at the same time. Mm-hmm. And there's power in that.
Right? But a lot of people don't feel you can have the both. And we'll definitely tell you that if you have both, you're double-minded.
Yeah. No.
That's not true.
No.
And that's not what he means when he speaks on that.
No. I'm reminded of Elijah. Look at Elijah towards like the end of his ministry when he was like, you know, out in the wilderness and he's like, God, everybody's against me. This is horrible and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know, he's having his moment, right?
Yes.
And God didn't say, Elijah, put on your big boy pants and go back out there. No, what he did was he let him sleep and he fed him and he let him sleep and he fed him. Like he took care of him. And then he spoke to him gently in that still small voice, right? I think that's the heart of God.
That's the heart of God.
Like he wants to heal those things. So,
correct. Yeah. And I think that's what I've learned in this year. It's okay. I constantly tell myself every day, it's okay. It's okay. It amazes me. Like so many years I told myself it wasn't okay. And now I'm like always looking in the mirror to say, it's okay.
And what
it's
what,
reaffirming.
And we say, you would say it's not okay. You mean how you feel or the situations or everything? All of it. Okay.
Even my situations.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. It's a calming word for me.
Yeah.
Two letters. It's okay. I mean, two words. It's okay. But because okay can be very neutral for me. Mm. It doesn't spike for me. I have to learn what's my word. That's the one thing going through all that.
Yeah.
I had to learn what's my word.
That's your epiphany.
It's okay.
Wow. That feels like a change of narrative for you, just mm-hmm. even in that, right?
Very much so.
Wow. It sounds like that your freedom was bought in being able to unravel all of the trauma, the pain, the depression, mm-hmm. and being able to talk about that and admit it and say, I don't know what to do with all this.
Right. But the key things for me was like, being able to change the narrative in all of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Step by step. But that took time. Right. And that took also for me to make the decision. That's the key.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And you have to allow people to make that decision in their time, though. That's another thing, you know, about give me a break. And that's another thing. You have to allow not only people the time, you also have to give people their way of doing it. We all do it differently.
Mm, that's good.
It's very, how people heal, how people choose to change their beliefs and understand. And, you know, and another thing at Cal too is like, I learned, before I interview people, right, we used to take these personality tests. We did all these things because we have to learn. Right, I don't know who you are before I even interview you because I know the direction. It's funny. I know exactly how I want to take the interview. I know exactly what I'm looking for, right? Because it's marketing. It's straight up marketing, 101, right? I know exactly what I'm looking for, how I'm looking for it, and why I need to get to the why.
You know how they're kind of leaning to it by all that, right?
And I'm segment. And then at the end of the day, we need to segment people.
Yeah.
Right? I need to it's called segmentation modeling. I need to segment people. And it's like, God, it's amazing how God is allowing me in this time to use that to be able to heal people for him though.
Yeah.
For God.
Yeah.
So they can understand themselves. Mm. Right?
Yeah. Take them deeper.
Deeper. And one of the things in the models we used there was photos. Right? Photos. Because people can't tend to do good. People will tell you what they want you to know in interview. This is easy. One-on-one. I can say whatever you want me to say. I can say what I want to say to you, right? But a photo would take me deeper in your consciousness. And that's another thing that would give me a break when I talk to people and want to go deeper with people, is allow them to go deeper with themselves consciously without knowing and without judgment.
Yeah.
In a safe space.
That's so cool.
Slowly. And so what I've learned this year, I'm thanking God for all the skills he's taught me along the way. And my prayer for myself and for everyone's listening is to pray that I use it properly.
Yeah. Oh, some of your lives have been just
slowly
so good, though. I mean, like some of the examples and things that you've given in that. I mean, and you can a thing I really like is you can listen and go, okay, I hear that. I hear that message. And then you can hear it again. You can go, oh, wait a minute. I never really thought about it that way. So that's God's using you through that stuff. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I love that you are just crazy authentic. Do you know what I mean?
Appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, you're just like, okay, we're going to talk about this. And it's really, it's good.
Only thing my kids said, keep us out of it.
Well, yeah, I get that. Like we try, totally understand that. Like when we will interview people, if we'll try not to say children's names, spouses' names, we'll try to edit those out. I get it. Yeah.
That's the only thing my kids, mom, you're going live Sunday. I'm like, yeah, why? Make sure you keep us out of it. I was like, all right, I got you. And then one time my son's just walked in, just kind of interrupted one. I was like, I thought you told me to keep you out of it. He's like, but it was so good. I was listening. I kind of want to come in and just talk. And I was like, but you want me to keep you out of it, right?
That's right. Which is it? Do you want to commit?
Right. Or which one is out? It? Which of it is it? But I thank God often that they are so proud of how my journey, because they've been part of my journey. They're part of my journey, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of my trauma, they were around, they experienced it with me. And what I've also had to recognize is that when you have experienced trauma and your children have been a part of it, even though you've healed and you've grown, doesn't mean they have.
Yeah.
And so you also have to respect that too. That's the biggest piece for me, is because I've healed, I'm healing, and I've changed the narrative, doesn't mean they have.
Yeah.
And I have to respect that.
Is that hard as a mom, though, to see?
Yeah.
Like, you're working on you, mm-hmm. but you see their pain.
Yes.
And you, of course, can't walk it through for them.
Mm-mm.
No one can walk through anybody's healing for them.
Mm-mm.
As much as we'd like to.
Mm-mm.
I don't even know how you processed your stuff while you're thinking about their stuff, too.
And I often go to them, and I have gone to each one of them individually and apologized for my, the things I know I've done to them. And often they are saying, what are you talking about? Right. And then they will recognize that they suppressed some things. Right. Mm-hmm. So then I have to pause and sit in and go, man, I just brought some things up for them that they've actually suppressed purposely so they can move on in their own personal lives. So then it's like, dang, I dug up something for them. And then what I had to realize then also was that I had to learn to step back and say, God, I have to learn to come to you first. Is it okay for me to talk to them about this? Right. So sometimes you're so happy and so, oh, yeah, I recognize this and I want to. But let me talk to God first. Is it okay for me to go to my child and say, I want to apologize, right? Even though I feel this right. And me and you don't, I don't work this through, but I need to talk to the Father first and say, is this time? Because even though I think it's time, I need to continue to constantly get alignment with God and say, is it time? Because it may not be time. That's something I had to learn. That was hard.
Sounds like great advice even for anyone that wants to go to someone and say, I forgive you or forgive me or whatever.
To learn that may not be, just because it's good for you may not be good for the other person.
Yeah, that's
that I had to learn. It wasn't good.
Well, I mean, when I say it's good, I just mean in that.
Yeah, I'm saying you're right. I get what you're saying. I was like, man, That was an eye-opener. I went all excited, like, man, I'm going to, you know, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that hurt them. And, you know, oh, my gosh, I'm ready to, you know, I feel so bad about that. And they looking at me like, Mom, I wish you wouldn't have said that.
It's like re-traumatizing.
Facts.
Yeah. Unintentionally.
Unintentionally.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and that's another thing I've learned, I try to do in this in my life is everything I do, I'm all about intention. You know, where is my heart?
Yeah.
You know, what's my intention? You know, is my intention to hurt, to harm? If it is, I don't do it. I don't move that way. You know, my intention is to be is to walk in love, to be in love, to speak in love, to do in love, in honesty. If it's not about that, I don't do it. I try not to do it, right? So next thing I saw, I was like, I got to learn to pray about this. So that's another thing with healing. You have to make sure you align with God. So I had to learn that too.
What was the biggest lesson coming out of, you obviously had trauma, mm-hmm. right? Lots of people mm-hmm. do. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether they admit it or not.
Oh yeah.
What for you? I mean, I see how God is using your trauma to create these beautiful narratives and these beautiful conversations with people, mm-hmm. these great talks that you give. Mm-hmm. But for you processing your trauma, what was like the biggest epiphany, biggest thing that you go, yeah, that was a deep lesson?
For me, about me?
Yeah.
Two things. Biggest thing is that I like to be in control.
Yes, don't we all?
Yeah,
there?
I like to be in control. Yeah, I like to be in control. And so many years I played victim. Not played victim, but I think I sat in my situation for years because I allow my mindset to be in victim mode. That makes sense?
Like, it does, yeah.
Yeah. So I think those two things, and once I shifted those things, freedom.
Freedom.
Freedom game. That's what happened. I a weight off my shoulder. That was beautiful for me. So, yeah. I still deal with the control thing. I must say, I still deal with it. I have to watch myself, you know, like, and I think that's a lot of me with mothers in general. We, you know, we try to control, we try to manipulate things or go our way because we don't want to see our kids get hurt or
right.
something to happen to them. But, you know, God has them. They're just our little gifts. You know, they're God's. You know, we don't want to see things happen. So we'll say, you know, I don't think you should do that. But, you know, it's manipulation a little bit, right? You know, you try to tell a story so they can listen to it in their head and so they can say, maybe I shouldn't do that. You know, that's, you know, we manipulate. I did. So I try not to do a lot of that. So I constantly work on those things, the manipulation and control. It's still a work in progress. I still am a work in progress. But the victim thing, yeah, that right there, that was not good. That kept me in a 20-year marriage. That kept me in a cycle of abuse. Cycle of wanting to be abused, I will say. I think I wanted the abuse, honestly. I learned that.
For punishment you thought you deserved, or it was just the expected norm?
Expected norm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once I realized that, and you realize you're not only expecting it from your spouse, you expect it from people, because then your people pleasing spirit comes out, right?
Oh, people,
they go together.
Awful.
They can go together. People pleasing and abuse can go together. I realized that victim, like when you want someone to hurt you, so then you could go and please them. See how they marry each other?
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, that's deep.
Yeah.
Ooh. Somebody out there definitely needed to hear that. I know I did.
I might make that alive on Sunday. Right. Golly.
Right.
I might need to say, I can't make this stuff up. That's a story for another day.
Oh, my goodness.
That's but yeah, so that's some deep. That's part of my journey. Yeah. Learnings. But yeah, to answer your question. But yeah.
So if people wanted to find you, get a hold of you, do you have a website or anything like that?
You can go to give me a break givemeabreakjc.com. That's my website.
Nice. That's also your TikTok handle. Mm-hmm. And then on Facebook, it's under your individual profile, correct?
Yeah, correct. Janita Cummings. Yeah.
Okay. So,
but yeah, that's perfect. My website.
And you have an email address on your website that people want to reach out to you. Awesome.
Phone number, email, all this on my website.
Yeah. You should totally check out her TikTok and her Facebook Lives. Just really great. I haven't been to your website yet, though. I will say that.
Okay.
So I can't really comment on that, but I'm sure it's
check
great.
It out.
So in closing, is there any piece of advice or something that you would want to leave the listeners with as it relates to your journey and just anything? And well, it doesn't even have to relate to your journey, but just anything you would want to leave them with.
What I always say is we're more alike than we're different. Never think you're alone. Mm. Simple as that.
That's good. Well, thank you for this conversation. This I hate for it to be over.
Me too. This was actually really, really fun.
Oh, yeah. I've enjoyed it. I've learned so much. And I just really love what you do. I mean, studying behavioral and applying it to marketing and then how God is using that in your, you know, give me a break talks. It's like, oh, God is just, he's so good in how he takes our giftings mm-hmm. and our natural leanings and can create something beautiful that someone else could not do.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
he's teaching me all that.
Oh, it's so good. He's so good.
He is.
So good. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you. Thank you.
Girl, thank you.
And folks, until next time, we'll see ya.
The year was 1924. A missions worker from Dayton, Ohio, realized that Cincinnati was in need of its own mission. A vision was born after working with business leaders in the area, including James N. Gamble of Procter & Gamble fame. Throughout its 100-year history, City Gospel Mission has worked tirelessly in the community to break the cycle of poverty and despair as a beacon of hope to the homeless, those recovering from life-controlling issues, youth, and those needing job services. City Gospel Mission has also stayed true to being Christ-centered, as the founders intended when they laid the foundation of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We look forward to our next 100 years for changing lives and saving souls. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2025 by Lakrita Bowman.